About 40 days ago, many of us took up the challenge of observing Lent. We emptied ourselves of lesser things to fill ourselves with the greater things of God. I heard whole families do this. I heard people give up things like social media and sugar and sleep to get up earlier in the morning to spend time with God, to be in the Word. I'm so proud of this church. My daughter gave up painting her nails. That's her deal. It's her jam. She read two Gospels. I was so proud of her. But I'm proud of all of us too. We took a step towards God, and I know he'll meet us in that. I know he's going to draw closer to us. But today what we do is we break the fast of Lent to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We celebrate the fact that the grave could not hold him, and he came bursting forth into glorious life. Today we celebrate on Easter Sunday that our Savior lives. It's amazing, isn't it? Give it up for that. That is why we are here. So to begin today, what I'd like to do is read the first eyewitness account of the resurrection. And I want you to listen to this. Read it with fresh eyes. We believe this actually happened, okay? And I want you to listen for the miracle and wildness of this story and imagine what it would have been like if you were one of the first people to see the resurrected Jesus. If you have your Bibles open at Matthew 28, I'm going to read this account, which is, well, one of my four favorites. They're all great. But this is what it says. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. I love that little detail. What a boss move. Just sat on that stone, right? His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. For I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go and tell the disciples, he is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I've told you." And so the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid and yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And then suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he says. And they came to him, clasped his feet, because they could hold him. He was physically resurrected, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There I will see them." Imagine what that would have felt like, to have seen the risen Jesus in the empty tomb. The Bible says these ladies, Mary and Mary, were afraid and joyful, right? Joyful I get. Like, there's your risen Savior. There is hope. You can hug him. He's right in front of you. And fear I get too. I mean, you see an angel sitting on that stone and an earthquake, and then you see a dead man walking. I mean, it'd be shocking, right? But I don't think that's what they're afraid of. I think they're afraid because they just witnessed a power that they couldn't begin to understand or explain. And I want to talk about that power today. We're talking about resurrection power that they experienced. And I want to talk about it because that resurrection power is available to all of us right now to help us in our life. And my prayer for all of us, for our church, has been that we would understand this power and experience more of it. And I get that from Paul. When Paul prayed to the Ephesian church, this is what he said about resurrection power. And this is what he wanted them to understand and what I want us to understand. He prays, I pray that you will begin to understand how incredibly great his power is to help those who believe him. It's that same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in heaven. And so God said, Paul wants all of us to understand. I want all of us to understand that power is available to us. Now, the word he uses for power is dunamis. It's where we get this word dynamite from in our language. And so Paul's saying to us, the word of God is saying to us, that God wants to give us dynamite power to transform our lives. And so here's what I want us to walk away from today. I want us to remember this. The most important thing in life is knowing Christ and experiencing the power of his resurrection. And I want all of us to experience it, the fullness of it. And so I'm going to talk about resurrection power today from two directions. What it saves us from and what it saves us into. It doesn't just save us from something, it saves us into something. And so I want to talk about both of these, but I'll start with what it saves us from. The resurrection power saves us from our past. And we know that this is true. You've been following Jesus. It saves us from our failures and our mistakes, our sins, our regrets, all of it. See, resurrection power is so formidable that it can cancel your past. Cancel it. And when I say cancel, I don't mean that you pretend it doesn't exist or you act like it wasn't there. No, we still learn from it. But when I say cancel, it means that Jesus Christ can forgive your sins and wipe the slate clean. And we hear a lot about cancel culture these days, right? Probably heard about this. Not a new idea. The kingdom of God has had a cancel culture from the very beginning of the kingdom. It just doesn't work like cancel culture in our world. Right now, cancel culture in our world, some good things about it, but it's a little out of control. Right? Say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing, you get canceled. You step out of line with PC culture, you get canceled. Talk about cancel culture, you might get canceled. I might be canceled by the end of the day for talking about cancel culture. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe it's 10 years down the road because of something I said in a sermon. They go, you're just not qualified, brother. Well, I'll live with that because the gospel's salty stuff. But the point is, you never know when you're going to get canceled. Because anything from your past can and will be used against you. That's what cancel culture does. Very little grace, very little mercy. It's not the way cancel culture works in the kingdom of God. So, you know, God knows, he knows everything about you. He knows your past, he knows your sins. You're not hiding anything from him. And he sent Jesus not to rub that in. He came to rub those things out, right? He didn't come to rub that stuff in. He came to rub that stuff out. There's this verse in Jeremiah 31, 34, where God says to the Israelites, he says, I will remember your sins no more. Isn't that incredible? And what an incredible line in the Bible. The God who created the universe forgets. He just says, I'm not going to remember any of that stuff anymore. Some people say, I'll forgive, but I'll never forget. God says both. You remember this old toy, this Etch-a-Sketch? I love this thing. I let my daughter play with it the other day, and she's fiddling around, and I'm terrible with these things, but she's fiddling around. She gets done. She goes, well, now what, Daddy? Well, I'm going to shake it up. And she goes, oh, no way. I go, you can start all over. That's what it's like with God, all right? It's literally what the Bible says, that with his sins, he says, I will wipe the slate completely clean. And the basis for this incredible forgiveness and goodness is Jesus Christ. You see, when he died on the cross, God sent him to the cross. All our sin and shame could be heaped upon him. And when his blood was shed, it covered our sin once and for all. And he invites us all to bring that to him. You see, when he's on the cross, one of the last things he said, you remember what it was? It is finished. It is finished. That's one word in Greek, tetelestai. It means paid in full. It would be stamped on a prison sentence when served or a bill when it was settled. We still use it today. I finally paid off my student loans at the age of 40. And I got a bill in the mail. And on it, paid in full. Yes. Right? You ever pay off something like a house or a car and you're like, I don't have to pay that ever again. Oh, what a feeling. Yeah, I kept it. I got that at home. That's such a feeling. That's what God is saying with your sins. Paid in full. When he died on the cross, the man who knew no sin went to the cross for you. He hung on it and shed his blood so you don't have to shed yours. And when you bring all your sin and shame to him, he says, paid in full. It is finished. It is an incredible gift of God to us. And he did it because he loves you, because he loves me. He cannot stand the thought of being in heaven for eternity without us. So you come today, you struggling with any kind of sins? Are you carrying any regret or shame? And you think, like my past, no, God wouldn't deal with it. He's, look, God says, bring that to me. I died for you. I died on the cross for you. He wants to take that from you. You see, Jesus was crucified so you can stop crucifying yourself. Right? That's the way it is. He was crucified so you can stop crucifying yourself. And all you need to do is confess this sin to God and go, I need a Savior. Okay, I know that I've messed up, and I need you to take this, Lord, and give it to him. And all of us need to do this. He says, I will wipe the slate clean if you come to me. Just come to me and trust in the power of my blood, in the power of the resurrection. And all of us need this mercy. It's not just those of us with a past. It's all of us need this. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And here's the good news. All are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that comes from Jesus Christ. That's what resurrection power does. God says, come to me, and I want to wipe the slate clean. You can come and have a fresh start with God. But that's not the only good news. All right, God doesn't save us as believers, those of us who've been following a while. just so we can sit around and wait for glory, all right? That's not the point. He didn't just save us from something. God saves us into something. God has a greater purpose for your life. He really does. He wants to do more in and through you than you might really believe is possible. See, I hit a low point in high school. I had a rough run in high school. I started getting into drugs and drinking early. Wrong crowd. Struggled in school. My self-esteem was in the tank for most of it. And I remember one day I'm walking home from the Fox River Mall right here in town. And a buddy and I, we had just stolen something. I remember walking home just feeling so full of shame and guilt. And I remember thinking to myself, Joel, you are never going to amount to anything. I thought that. I thought, you just grit your teeth. You're going to get through life. You'll be lucky to hold down a job. You are a loser. That's what I felt walking home from the mall that day. And I really believed it. Never in my wildest dreams did I think God would take a guy like me and let me help build the kingdom of God. I never thought I'd be able to stand in front of a group of people and share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. But when I started to follow Jesus, when he set my feet on a rock, and he walked me down a path in a life that I never knew would be possible. And I'll tell you what, every one of you here who's in the church, who's a follower of Jesus, he has a plan for you too. He wants to do more in and through your life than you really understand is possible. But you're going to need resurrection power to engage with this. You're going to need to trust the leadership of Jesus in your life. You know, the very first thing that Jesus said to the disciples when he met with him, okay, he finally got to Galilee. The ladies told him, they went. Jesus stands in front of them. You know what he says? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now, why did Jesus say that? Is he just flexing, like, look how strong I am? No. He wants them, and he wants us to listen to what he says next. Because what he says next is really important. He says, therefore, okay, because I have all authority in heaven and on earth, therefore, go. So the first thing he says to the disciples, he puts a call on them. And this is what he says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So the first thing Jesus did when he met with the disciples was he put a call on them. It's called the Great Commission. And as followers of Jesus, we have the great privilege and responsibility of carrying that out. You see, the Great Commission isn't something that Jesus gave to the disciples or just professional Christians. He gave it to all of us. And if you're sitting out there thinking, not me, not somebody with my past or my hang-ups, he wouldn't use someone like me, I'm disqualified. Look, bottom line is, God just doesn't agree with you. He doesn't see it your way. He sees something in you. You see, the disciples, these guys, they weren't the best of the best. All right, these were some rejects. These were average guys, way younger than most of us, for real. A lot of hang-ups, a lot of past, and God said, I'll tell you what, you guys, I'm going to just go ahead and give you the business of building up the church, most important job in history, handed it to those guys. And he says to us, I'm going to hand that same job off to you guys. Again, he didn't just save us from our past so we can sit around and feel good about it. All right, Easter's not a day we just come and celebrate the fact that we are saved and we're going to heaven and our sins are forgiven and we go home and eat honey, ham, and chocolate, right? Although I'm doing both of those later. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's not the point, okay? Easter is meant to launch us into living into our greater purpose. That's why we're here. You see, God wants to use you as an agent of reconciliation to a very lost world. He wants you to bring hope to the hopeless, healing to the hurting, light into the darkness. He wants you to go and make disciples of all nations. He wants to use you to build up the church. And you can do it because he will be with you in his full resurrection power, okay? That's what he said, and it's a promise of Jesus. After giving the Great Commission to the disciples, Jesus said this, and surely I'm with you to the very end of the age. Guys, I'm with you. Now, the order is important here. The order of this is really important to understand. He says, go and make disciples. Then he says, I will be with you. And so he's saying, just go. Go now, okay? Don't wait till you're older. You don't have to wait till you're more experienced or more polished or in a better spot. Go now. You don't have to wait, wish you were younger and not go at all. He says, just go. And as you go, I will be with you. I'll go with you. I'll go ahead of you. I'll pave the way. I'll take responsibility for outcomes, not your job. And I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. That's his promise. Now you might think, how's he with us? If we know in he ascended to heaven in these stories, right? We know he did that. When he was alive, Jesus said to the disciples, and he said to us, I'm going to send you someone better than me. You go, who could be better than Jesus? Well, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. He promised a helper in the Holy Spirit. And on Pentecost, after he rose and ascended into heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit to the disciples. Peter got up, one of the more troubled disciples, preached a sermon, 3,000 people came to the Lord. Isn't that incredible? It's not because Peter was probably an especially great speaker. It's because he was obedient to the call and the Holy Spirit, that resurrection power worked through him. That's what's incredible. And you know what? When we accept Jesus, all of us who follow Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And the Holy Spirit gets to work when we get serious about the Great Commission. The Holy Spirit gets to work, the power of God, resurrection power gets moving when we're obedient and we just trust him when we go. So let me end with this question. What would it look like for you to embrace resurrection power today? What would that look like for you? It's available to all of us. Now, if you're a follower of Jesus, right, there is a calling on your life. Right? Again, Easter's, we're not just here to just celebrate the good news. We're to go share it with others. That's what we're called to do. We have the dunamis of God in us, right? The power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is available to us every day. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with that power? It's going to look different for all of us. It's not the same. I mean, some of you, it might literally be to go full-time mission, full-time ministry. Some of you, it just might be that you need to go radically love your neighbor. You need to be more available. Might be growing in generosity. You know you've been holding back from God and from others, focusing on yourself a lot. There might be a relationship in your life. You know, you just don't feel like it's even hopeful. It is so far gone. But God says, go into that. Try to be an agent of reconciliation. You don't have to be responsible for what happens. Just go. Because I have the resurrection power of God can work in that. And let me say, right now I have a feeling God's just putting something on everybody's heart. He's sharing something with you. Whatever that is, I encourage you, just do it. Okay? Just trust him. Go. Now, if you're here and you're thinking, I don't know about Jesus. That's Easter, I'm here, but I do have a lot of baggage, and I'm struggling, and I don't know what to do with it. My life's been full of regrets, and there's been a lot of pain in my life. I know I need a Savior. I don't know where to turn. Jesus says, just bring it to me. He says, do you understand? I love you so much. I love you so much. I died on the cross for you. Will you come to me? And he says, just confess that sin to me. Bring it to me. Bring me all your shame, all your hurt, all your regret. I can deal with your past. There's nothing you've done that he can't deal with. Bring that to me. You see, the Bible says, listen to this. When we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive us. And here it comes. And purify us from all unrighteousness. He's wiping the slate clean. Resurrection power right there. And here's the additional good news. When we receive forgiveness from God, we also inherit eternal life, okay? We can be with him forever. You see, when Jesus rose from the dead, he defeated death. Okay, he's right now sitting at the right hand of God. He is not dead. Right? That's what's so good. See, when we accept Jesus, when we get this forgiveness, he says, you'll be with me in heaven. We're not going to die again. We are raised to new life, eternal. God said, I sent my son into the world. I so love the world that I sent my one and only son that none shall perish and all shall have eternal life, right? We can't be there if we have the sin hanging over us. The Bible also says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The gift is that. We can't be with him because of our sin. It blocks it. Unless we deal with that, we can't be with him forever in eternity. But because of what Christ did on the cross, our sins are forgiven. If today's the day for some of you, I believe, to accept Jesus, to say, hey, look, I need to bring him that. I want the resurrection power at work in my life today. And if you bring it to him, he says, I'll forgive you. I'll set you on a path to eternal life, and I've got a plan to use you. He's got so much in store for you. Don't wait another day. There'll be pastors here in the link. It's a little room outside here off the lobby up front. If you're online, there's pastors there. They'll talk with you, write with you, call us, talk to us, or just pray to God, Lord, I need you. I need you to forgive my sins. I know you died on the cross for a reason, and it was you that he died for. And he rose from the dead. Don't wait another day. to accept Jesus. Today you can, and you can know for sure you can be with him forever in eternity. Now we're going to sing a couple songs here to end. And these are songs of praise to a God worthy of it, worthy of every bit of it. And as we sing these songs, I just want to ask you, ask God, what does it look like for me to embrace resurrection power today? Ask him. And whatever he says to you, just do it. Just be obedient and trust that you don't have to do this in your strength, but resurrection power will step into your life and move. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your son. Thank you for the incredible gift you gave us by your son dying on the cross for us. And the power and the majesty and the miracle of the resurrection, Lord, I pray that this resurrection power becomes so real to us today and that you speak to everybody in this room, everybody online that's listening, and show us how we're to respond to this. And that we walk out of here filled with the Spirit, Lord, filled with resurrection power and go into this world and make a difference for the kingdom of God through our lives. We know and trust you want to work in and through us. You, to Lord, be all the glory and all the praise forever and ever. And his people said, amen, let's worship him.